Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello again. Wow, there is so much that God has given me for this morning, but I believe that I'm just going to, you know, do what I do and allow the Lord to give me what he wants me to share with everyone on this morning. And although the message may not be for you, it's definitely a great reminder message for myself. And not only that, it's something that I see in the world in general. Is something that I have, over the course of the years, wondered about the patience of God and the patience of people. And so I'm going to ask Minister Sheila to go ahead and pray for us. And remember, this message may not be for you, but it's definitely a message for the world. Minister Sheila, can you go ahead and pray for us and pray with us and share, even if God has given you something, what you have for the World Wide Web on this morning?
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and good morning. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, God, the Father, and the Son, Christ, Lord Jesus, for blessing us with another day. Another birthday of life to praise and to love and to learn and to cherish the love of life that you have given us. Father, I give honor to you, who is the head of my life, to the head of our life, that you have brought us another day. Another day that was not promised, but we know through the love and the mercy that you have granted us a life to love and to enjoy and to follow and to ask for your knowledge and your directions and what you have for us today that we need to ask and love to do. I give honor for Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Margot McCoy, Evangelist, Apostle, Missionary, Tony Montgomery, and Linda Handy, Dr. Serena Wright, Pastor Troy, Prophet Antoine, Apostle Cecilia, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Margot. Lord, I thank you for blessing us with this spiritual knowledge, teaching, loving family, the bloodline you have blessed us with the knowledge, the wisdom, and the know-how of serving and wondering why you put us in a life. But Lord, we thank you. I thank you for this lifeline you have given us, this bloodline you have put us into. But Lord, I thank you. We ask you why, but we know you know all that is right for us, that which we should not ask why. We should just say thank you, because we know if it wasn't for you, the devil would have his way and we would be damnation for the rest of our lives. But Lord, I thank you for bringing us into your life, to your hands of love and mercy, and to carry us through this life with the knowledge of knowing and loving you. I thank you for my sisters, my brothers, excuse me, my sons, my daughters, my uncles, my aunts, nieces, nephews, granddaughters, grandsons, Lord, my bloodline family, also my spiritual family, my granddaughters. Lord, I just thank you for each and every one you have blessed me with, the family that I know and don't know, the spiritual family I know and don't know. But, Lord, I thank you. I ask you to bless this government, that they rule for all people, not just some people, because we are all your sons and daughters. Police force that needs to learn that we are all here to live together so they should serve us all as one together. I thank you for blessing us and help us through whatever we're going through, finance, health-wise, within our families, our jobs, our neighbors. But Lord, that we even have problems within ourselves, that we need your help to bring us through it the right way, no matter what it is, to put it in your hands. And let's wait on you, because whatever you have for us is worth waiting for. But God, I thank you, and I thank you for blessing us and waking us up this day, and to have mercy on all of us, and to help us to learn and to understand you are the way. You made this planet for earth, and you didn't have to. But Lord, we thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you. Back to you, Apostle.
Amen. Thank you for the prayer, Minister Sheila. Like I said, this message may not be for you, but it's for someone that's going to listen to this message in the archive, or it's from someone we have said, why are they always late? Matthew 25. Verses 1 through 13 talks about the story of the virgin. And I am going to read it in its entirety. I know I usually just read a verse or two, but I want you to hear what the Message version says. God's kingdom is like 10 young virgins who took oil lamps and went out to greet the bridegroom. 5 were silly, 5 were smart. The silly virgins took lamps, but not extra oil. The smart virgins took jars of oil to feed their lamps. The bridegroom didn't show up when they expected him, and they all fell asleep. In the middle of the night, someone yelled, "He's here! The bridegroom's here! Go out and greet him!" The 10 virgins got up and got their lamps ready. The silly virgins said to one another, "Our lamps are going out. Lend some of your oil." They answered, "There might not be enough to go around. Go buy your own." They said, and they did. And while they were out buying oil, the bridegroom arrived. And when everyone was there to greet him, had gone into the wedding feast, and the door was locked. Much later, the other virgins, the silly ones, showed up and knocked on the door saying, "Master, we're here. Let us in." And he answered, "Do I know you? I don't think I know you. So stay alert. You have no idea when he might arrive." So let's start out by asking a few questions, whether we ask it to ourselves or to someone else. Have you ever been late for a flight that left without you? Have you ever been late for a meeting that you were the key person for the meeting or just another member, but when you got there, they had already had the meeting and left? Have you ever been late paying a bill and it caused your water to be shut off, or your electricity be shut off, or they canceled that particular credit or that line of credit? Have you ever been late for anything, or you have always been late for everything, so the people there say, "Oh, well, you know they're always going to be late." So because of that, you've missed out on something. You've missed out being in charge of something. You've missed out on being invited. They've just stopped inviting you because they said, "Well, that person's always late and we can't depend on them. We can't count on them. Let's put someone else in that position." Have you ever woke up so late for something that you just missed out on it in its entirety? What is causing you to go around in circles and do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome? Or is it a who? Or is it just me? Or is it that I'm doubting my capabilities about something, or whatever the reason is that makes you either late or just not do what you know to do? Why do we say, I don't want to miss God. But we keep allowing fear, false evidence that appears real, to keep making us miss out on things or doubt that I can do exactly what God has said I can do. Do I really trust God? Do I really trust? Do I trust my job more than I trust God? Do I trust my significant other, my spouse, my ex-spouse, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my family, my money, count my assets? Do I trust all of this more than I trust God? Do I trust people, things, and organizations more than I trust God? Did the story of the foolish virgins show that they trusted that they always had time, that they could always depend on someone else's charity, that they could always depend on someone else's preparation? Or is it the biggest game, the biggest bamboozle, the biggest scam that the devil plays on us to make us think that we always have time? What is your strategy to make sure that you know that you don't always have time? Not for bills, not for meetings, not for events. Or is it I just want to show up so that everyone turns around and I'm the person that's the attention that walks in so they can say, look at Cecilia. Oh, look at what she's wearing. Well, even the word of God declares in Isaiah 55:6-13, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him for salvation while he is near. Let the wicked leave behind his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion and mercy on him. Is that the problem? We're always depending on the mercies of God. Well, the verses go on to say, and he will abundantly pardon. For his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bear and sprout, and providing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, useless, without results, without accomplishing that which I desire, without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. For you will go out from exile with joy and be led forth by the Lord with peace. And the mountains and hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress tree will grow, and instead of the nettle, the myrtle tree will grow. And it will be a memorial to the Lord, for an everlasting sign of his mercy, which will not be cut off. I'm going to be reading a lot of scriptures today because the one thing that God wants to remind me of is that his word works. And when we allow people to be human, and when we allow the word of God to work, and when we allow the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do, guess what? We don't have to worry about things that need to change. We don't have to worry about people that need to stop doing this or stop doing that or start doing something, because the word shall not turn unto him void. So when someone says, wake up, wake up, it's time for the meeting. Wake up. Wake up, it's time for the wedding. Wake up, it's time for the event. Wake up, it's time. And you don't really know the time. You don't really know the hour. But you do know that Jesus is returning. Proverbs 6, 9, and 11, a message of the lesson of the ant. You lazy fool, the word, this is not Cecilia talking, look at an ant, watch it closely, let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. All summer it stores up food. At harvest, it stockpiles provisions. So how long are you going to laze around doing nothing? How long before you get out of bed, a nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there? Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life, poverty, your permanent house guest. Oh, my God. And Proverbs even goes on in another chapter, chapter 24, verses 33 through 34, to say, one day I walked by the field of an old lazy bones and then past the vineyard of a slob, and they were overgrown with weeds, thick with thistles, all the fences broken down. I took a long look and pondered what I saw, and fields preached me a sermon, and I listened. A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life with poverty as a permanent house guest. My God, it's amazing. When I think about all of the family members and friends and neighbors and loved ones that we've lost, these past years, and people are still getting married, people are still having babies, and they're still celebrating their birthdays in the midst of the various Ebola virus, the COVID, the wars, the rumors of wars and more. And yet the enemy is still hypnotizing and lulling people into thinking that time is on their side. And yet the Bible reminds us that we know not the day nor the hour. So what is it that God is saying he wants you to do that you keep saying, I still have time? What is it that God is telling you to prepare to do and you're saying, I still have time? Well, one of the things I'm going to God about is I know that I'm to retire next year between May and December. So some of the things that he wants me to prepare for, I have to make sure that I'm prepared for. But some things I need to trust him for. See, when it comes to money and savings and things of that sort, that's usually something I've been good at. But what about if this time God is saying, nope, you're not going to set aside anything. You're going to trust me. Oh, my goodness, that's something God would have to prepare me for, because that's a trust in a place with God that I can say I have not been there in a long time because I've always prepared. I've always had something in the bank, as they say. I've always had something over here or something over there. But what about if God is saying, I don't want you to be prepared for this or that? Because you're always prepared. I want you to be prepared in your trust. I want you to store up trust for me. I want you to store up patience for me. I want you to store up not doubting me. I want you to store up when I say go, you say go. And I say, well, where am I going, God? You said go, and I said go, and so now I'm going. But now I want you to trust the person or the people that I send you to. Now I want you to know, don't even take no clothes to put on your back. See, I know you remember this in the scriptures where he sent the disciples and they could have prepared. They could have taken things, but he says, No, you've always prepared financially, but now I want you to really trust me. But then there's others that God is saying, store up the money. Store up the provision. I need you to be prepared. Don't do what he or she did, because my provision for you is different than for that person. I want them to learn how to trust me. I want them to learn how to be patient. I want them to learn that I'm their God. What about if for you, he wants you to be prepared by learning how to deal with those nice nasties? What about if God is going to send you to the mean people? Not the nice ones, but the ones that don't like you just because of your skin color, because of your education, just because your beauty is second to none, because your beauty is from the inside out. What if God is going to send you to those people that'll not understand you? So now what he's teaching you is patience and real love. Oh, my God. You got to love the nice, nasty people? That's a whole nother message. Luke 21:25-28 says, it will seem like all hell has broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth, sea, in an uproar, and everyone all over the world is in a panic. The wind knocked out of them by the very threat of doom, the powers that be quaking. And then they'll see the Son of Man welcomed in grand style, a glorious welcome. When all the stars to happen, up on your feet, stand tall with your heads high. Help is on the way. Yet, if I told you I had a dream of God, and God told me he's coming in this very second, in this very minute, in this very hour, on this very day, during this very week, during this very month, in this very year, in this very decade, or whenever, we know that many will still believe that they still have time because of the con game of the devil that he's playing with our hearts and our minds and in the lives of his very creation. One thing we all can be assured of is that the word of God promises that Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. Will you be ready? Because he's not saying not to prepare, but he's saying what he wants you to do is not the same that he wants another to do. Some are going to trust him financially. Some are going to learn how to trust him in the midst of, like the word said, a total panic, a threat. Can you imagine God coming right when he has you dealing with the nice nasties, right when he has you dealing with that person that knows how to push your button, and he's saying, love them in spite of. Ooh. Matthew 24:36 says, this is the Message version, but the exact day and hour no one knows, not even heaven's angels, not even the Son. Only the Father knows. Matthew 25:13. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know. You do not know the day or the hour. So I have been asking myself, Cecilia, how are you sharing the word of God? How are you sharing the love of God? How are you sharing the news of the soon return of God's Son, Jesus? Is it with the ones that are nice, the nice nasties, or have you been proportioning or giving his word to certain people? Have you been living a life that shares the love of God, that shares the word of God? Have you been sharing it with your family or on your job? What's your boss? Does your boss see the love of God in you? Does your colleague see the love of God in you? Does your family see it? Does the organizations you belong in, do they see the love of God? What about people that are just plain old nasty, those nasty neighbors? Can they see the love of God? What about that person when you were driving and you gave them the finger, or you gave them the look, or you called them an idiot, or you called them a name? What about those people who don't like you
Do you still show them the love of God?
Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. Everyone has to die once, then the face, the consequences. Christ's death was also a one-time event, but it was a sacrifice that took care of sins forever. And so when the very next time he appears, the outcome for those eager to greet him is precisely salvation. The book of Revelations, chapter 1, 4 through 7, verses 4 through 7 says, his eyes pouring fire blaze. That's the name of it. And it's when John, you know, talks to God and God talks to him. And the very glory of Christ who loves us, who blood washed our sins for our lives, for who made us a kingdom, who is the priest for his Father and forever. Yes, he's on his way. He's riding the clouds. He'll be seen by every eye, those who mocked him, those who killed him, people from all nations and all times. They will tear their clothes and lament. Oh, yes, they will. But when he returns, and although we don't know the exact day or the exact hour of Jesus' return, and although we know that the mercy of God never ceases, Lamentations 3, 22 through 23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So are we depending on the mercies of God so that we think we still have time? Because his mercies are new every morning. But we don't know the day or the very hour that he's coming. So will we have run out of mercies? Will the mercies of God that morning, will it be like the foolish virgins that didn't have enough oil because they didn't bring extra, they didn't have that provision? Will it be like that person that you just finished going off on them and not showing them love or kicking them out or being rude to them? And right in the midst of your rudeness, right in the midst of your cursing God, right in the midst of your doubting God, right in the midst of you not trusting God, right in the midst of you doing that thing he told you not to do again. It's not all about fornication and perversion. That's where everybody likes to go. It's all about the bondage that you are wrestling with, the bondage that I am wrestling with. Will the mercies of God run out in that day and that hour? Will the forgiveness and the redemptive plan of God still be there for us? Praise the Lord, oh my soul, who forgives all sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems. You know, God has been redeeming us. The word even reminds us he redeems us from the pits and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your life with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is compassionate. He's gracious. He's slow to anger, abounding in love. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's according to Psalms 103, verses 2 through 5, verse 9 and 11 and 12. See, I'm not talking about those that are redeemed. I'm talking about those who need to be redeemed. Because believe it or not, when God said that he died for us, his son Jesus died for us, when he said that we were redeemed, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, that's real. But what about the people that have not been redeemed? What about the people who have not seen the mercy of God because they still think they have time? So many of us could be like, oh, no, I'm good, I'm good. Yes, you are. But what about your sister? What about your brother? What about your uncle? What about your aunt? What about your niece? What about your nephew? What about that coworker? What about that fellow co-laborer that's playing church instead of actually being the church? You know, there's a lot of people in the church that are undercover, and we know they're undercover. They're playing like they're one thing, but they're not another. They're in there, and they're fleecing the sheep. They're doing all of these things, and we have not been telling them the truth because they've really never accepted God. There's a difference in playing church and actually allowing God to actually enter your heart. So are the mercies that God is showing that person, is it going to run out? Or will they be blessed enough that God will allow them in the 11th hour to accept him? When I think about my mother's prayers being answered, when what man would consider the 11th hour, and my dad had the opportunity to call for the elders, Apostle Sandra Thomas and Pastor Fred, to pray with him the sinner's prayer, not everybody has an 11th hour moment. Who, Cecilia, are you sharing the word of God with? Who are you being proportional with the word? You want to give them some of it, but not all of it. Who are you not even sharing it with them? Because you're like, they didn't got on my last nerve. They can go to H-E-double-L. Will that be the reason that you learn that you've never really trusted God? That you'll learn that you've never even really accepted God? Because God's love is agape. It's unconditional. It's not proportional. It's not a love of convenience. But his word shall not return unto him void, because you're going to share it with everybody. The mercies of God don't run out. Even that person that decided they want to be a Satan worshiper, or they want to be in this cult or that cult that doesn't accept Jesus Christ because they want to just make him out to be a prophet or a good man. But he's God. He's Lord of Lords. He's King of Kings. Yes, we can have the assurance that the grace of God covers us, according to 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 through 10. Yes, we can have that. It says, because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What in fact did, let's say that again. What he in fact did was push me to my knees. Ooh, my God, no danger then of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift and begged God to remove it. Three times I did, and then he told me. Since God's grace is sufficient, and the cares of life can push us to our knees, there's people that'll push you to your knees because they will push that button, and when you want to say whatever or do whatever, God will have you pray for them in the midst of their hatred, in the midst of their misunderstanding. And although we know that we have and will know that after the sufferings and persecution, we still win because we stay in him. God dwells on the inside of us. And because we know that he protects us, we can't be surprised about all of the things that may come our way, because we have to know we don't want anyone to perish. We don't want anyone to be late when he returns. We don't want anyone to say, but I was tested, and right in the midst of my test, he returned. Well, that's what the word reminds us, that it could be right in the midst of the test, right in the midst of the suffering, that he returns with great joy to take us with him. It doesn't mean that when he returns, you're going to be in a good place. You're going to be in a place of joy. But it means that when he returns, you're going to know that he protected you. You're going to know that you can know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that he's loved you in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your reward. Some people are going to be at a wedding. Some people are going to be in the midst of a celebration when he returns. Others are going to be in the midst of a storm and a battle. But we can know that we can take refuge and confidence in knowing that those of us who've accepted him, we have a sure thing. But when we look to the left, when we look to the right, when we look in front of us, when we look behind us, is there someone that's going to be left out? We don't want anyone to perish because God doesn't want them to perish. We know that the new earth and the new heaven is going to be formed because Revelation 21 tells us about it. And we know that Jesus is going to return. So since he's going to be of God of the return, and he is the God of the return, he's also the God of the revival. He's also the God of the refreshing. He's also the God of the new wine and the new wineskin. He's also the God that delivers and sets free. He's also the God that's our captain of our salvation. So when he returns, we don't know the state that we're going to be in or someone else is going to be in. So share the word of God. Share the love of God today, tomorrow, next week. Because remember, we don't know when he returns and when he's going to return. We don't know when the new heaven and the new earth will be formed. But we know that the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that even people remember the word of God that says the Lord does not delay as though he was unable to act and is not slow about his promise. Some count slowness, but is extraordinarily patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Who do you know? Who do you know? Because God revealed it to it, not because of some self-righteousness, but because God has revealed to you that person's playing church, that person's fleecing the flock, that person's always thinking they still have time, that person doesn't want to miss God with their mouth, but their actions show that they do because they still think they have time. Who is that person that is saying, I accept what God allows, but is always complaining about what God allows? Who is that person that has a form of godliness, but denying the truth thereof? Who is that person that you know, that you know, that you know without a shadow of a doubt, they want to serve the love, They want to serve the Lord. They want to love God, and they want to serve him with love and understanding. But that very addiction keeps pulling them away from God. Who is that person? God's given them a major way of escape. It's called salvation. He's shown them the way. He's given them the plan. And God has told you to pray for them. Is your provision that you're an intercessor? Is your provision to prepare for him? Is to pray for the very people that are addicted to something? Or just thinks they have time on their side. Time that we have is right now. Preach the word. Teach the word. In season, out of season. Rebuke, reprove. In season, out of season. Don't worry about hurting their feelings. Because the one thing you don't want is to hurt thou salvation. If I hurt your feelings, but your soul would say, gotta be done. If you misunderstand me, but you're saved, it's gotta be done. If you say all manner of wickedness against me, your soul's gotta be saved. If you walk away today from me, because of the word of God that I'm living. I haven't said a word to you, but my very life and existence caused the demons on the inside of you to tremble and be upset. Your soul's got to be saved. To be walking, living epistles, read of men, when they look at you, they say, I want to be saved. We don't know the time or the hour. We don't even know the season, whether it's of happiness, of vanity, of pride, of wickedness, of suffering, or right in the midst of your praise, that's when he returns. We don't know. Neither does the person that you're assigned to and the people. So guess what? Wake up. Don't be late. That's all I have, Minister Sheila.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Apostle, for that word, that teaching, and to help us yet understand. But I thank you, and I thank you for the message, because it was so true and so much needed for many that we need to listen and to understand and to change into a better way of life that we are leading for ourselves with the God that have blessed us with it. Just want to say the lines are open for anyone that has a testimony, a statement, remark, or words to say. The lines are open.
Good morning, saints. God bless you all. God bless you. God especially bless the word of morning from Apostle Lex, Cecilia. I want to thank God for you. Thank you for this very this very interesting and informative word. Some of the things that stood out for me as I took notes was this whole idea of poverty is a permanent house guest of the lazy. I mean, that was just something to think about. That one of the reasons many people suffer is because, as you say, they wake up late, they don't prepare, they don't listen to God, and they don't follow his word. Overall, they're not following his word. So I say thank you again for this. And my other takeaway is that we should not be foolish or silly regarding our time, how we use the time that God has given us. And that we need to be about our Father's business, believing his word above all things, because his word is life. Thank you for the word on today. God bless you.
Thank you, Ms. Margo McCoy, for your statement and comments. Is there anyone else? The lines are open.
Good morning, everyone. I want to say, this is Minister Sylvia Kaiser, first of all. When I first heard Apostle start to speak, I kind of stopped because she said, always late. I said, oh, she's going to talk about me. I had to kind of giggle because I said, I most likely, if you want, my family teases me because they always say, if you want Renee to be somewhere on time, you must tell her it's 2 hours early. So I thank God for the word today because I said, God, I do not want to be left out. I do not want to miss God. I do not want to forget what God has put me on this earth to do. And I thank God for the wake-up call to say, wake up, it's time to be about God's business. So I thank God for the bold word on today to say something to catch someone in their spirit and not afraid to say, I thought you were talking about me, but I thank God that you were, because it's time out for being late. When everything you do is an appointed time, God has you on assignment, and it's time for myself to be on time and start getting in place. Like they tell you when you come to work, come 15 minutes early. When you go for a doctor's appointment, come 15 minutes early. I got to get in my spirit. If God has set me up on a time for 1 o'clock, I need to come 15 minutes early. Thank you, Apostle, for the word on today. It's time to wake up.
Thank you. Thank you, Minister Sylvia Kaiser. Right. I just want to say thank you, because what she said do hit so many more. And it's just, they always say the scripture, the speaker, the message, once you listen to it, it's parts of it that always gonna hit home. So don't listen to some. Listen to all of it. The ones you need to hear is in the message. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all that the Apostle said on today, and Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Margaret McCoy, for your comments and remarks. But I know we all need to wake up in some way, fame or fortune. Something that we all need to wake up from and to get it together and to get in order. Because one thing we all want to be is ready when the Lord's come. Putting it on hold is going to put you in a hole. It's going to make you miss. And then you don't have nothing to do but look into the mirror and ask yourself, why didn't I what I was supposed to do? Why didn't I listen or pay attention? I just want to say thank you, thank you. And through that message, it hits home on each and everyone that's listening. Whether you want to say it did or didn't, but you know, faithfully, it hit home to each and every one of us. I just want to say the lines are open. If anyone has a statement, comment, remark, or anything, the time is now. Okay. I just want to say thank you.
Minister Sheila, I just wanted to say, I wanted to be very transparent. This message today that God had gave me actually derived from, I was supposed to be somewhere at 5 a.m. and I changed where I was going to where 5 a.m. was now 4 a.m. Well, I overslept. And not only did I miss the meeting, by the time I got on the meeting, it was 10 minutes left for the meeting and everyone was gone. And then God reminded me, you didn't prepare. You didn't set your alarm for the Central Standard Time instead of the Eastern Standard Time. So we have to make sure that we are prepared for the time change. And although that was not the message on today, the preparation for things that will cause you to miss out on God, God could have returned when I missed out on that meeting. And it's been a few weeks, but he told me to share it on today. So for when I say the first partakers of the message, I was definitely the first partaker of today's message because I not only was late, when I arrived, they had already left. So I had a foolish virgin moment. That's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else have a statement or comment? Okay, well, I just want to thank each and every one of us for listening today. And I just want to say a short prayer. Lord, I give honor to you. I give honor for blessing because I know it's you. You that leads us. You just wakes us up. You just gave us life. You didn't have to. But I thank you for blessing us all, Lord, because without you, we would not be nothing. We would not be here. But, Lord, I just say I want to thank you. And I'm praying to you for me, and I know it might hit someone else. I thank you for helping me through my wants. I know so many of people want, till they miss out on what you have for them on their want. Lord, I need you to touch us and to ask us to understand no matter what we're going through or no matter what we want, to put it in your hands and wait for you. Because our wants cannot be what we need. Our wants can be not what you have for us. Our wants can end us up with something that we just should have waited on. But, Lord, I need you to bless us and lead us and to guide us to no matter what it is. To put it in your hands, pray it unto you, because wanting and just getting it and not just waiting and just rushing, you can end up with something that you could just not believe you got because you could not wait. Lord, we need to, as apostles say, we need to wake up. Pray to you for each morning that we wake up to guide us and to teach us and to show us your way on how, no matter what we want to do or what we think we want to do, that you lead us the right way, that you show us, that you give us a direction. Because no matter what we're going through, if we can't wait on you, the devil will send us through what is purity, as they say, the pit of a hellhole. But Lord, I need you to bless us through our hearts, minds, and souls, to lead us and to let us understand no matter what you want, it's not meaning to be for what you need. To wait to ask the Lord for what I want, Lord, I need you to bless me with the way you want me to have, for the way you want me to live, for the way you have for me, because everything my eyes have seen is not what you say I need for my life to be. Within and to without. But Lord, I need you to bless us all and to let us understand no matter what it is, through your way and your love and your mercy and your knowledge and your wisdom, God, you can bless us all the right way and to wait on you and not to let someone help convince you. Just say, I don't want to rush for what I think I want. I want the Lord to bless me for what I really need. Lord, I need you to bless us all and to let us know what we need to really want is the life and the love and the mercy from you through our life, that which is the best guidance in this world that we can ever ask for, and to lead us, to let us know when it's the devil, the trickster, the man of damnation, that no matter how hard or how much it is, to let him know you cannot win. I am God's son or daughter, and through him, my life, I shall live. Let someone say thank you. Thank you and thank you, God, because I know you are the best judgment of my life. And to all our lives, we just need to pray, ask for you, and wait for you. And I love you in the name of Jesus. God, our Father, Son,
Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for this day that we all need to raise up and say thank you. Amen and amen. Is there anything else anyone wants to say before I close out the program?
Who's the speaker for tomorrow, Minister Sheila?
Okay. I would just ask if there's anyone else before I close it out. Today is Sunday, which each and every Sunday we have Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser on Let's Talk, which starts at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, and, no, 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Mondays, we have Blog Talk and Facebook with Iron Sharpening Iron. With the speaker tomorrow should be, Pastor Troy Thomas, which is a mighty man of God with a lot of knowledge, wisdom, and teaching, and can help you understand more than what you realize, which is at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on Friday night, Let's Talk with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright and Prophet Antoine Thomas. Leave this Friday night would be, can you help me on this? Because I sort of misplaced it. I think it's Prophet Antoine Thomas.
Sylvia
Kaiser Wright. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. And there's also on Facebook and Blog Talk, which is 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if I messed up anything on the service nights, could you please correct me as of now? I appreciate it. Okay, thank you. I just want to say I thank you all for listening and participating, and to tell more about the wonderful things that God has done for us through this ministry, and to remember our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:30, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Just want to say, God, I bless you. Thank you for blessing us, and I praise your name, and I thank you. For yet we are here another day. Amen.